Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text 12, Speaking is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says, men in this world desire success and fruit of activities, and therefore they worship the demigods. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruit of work in this world. Comment. One who worships Krishna for material benefits obtains his desires, but Krishna first purifies his heart. The purification may take time, and therefore the material reward may be delayed. Once the reward is achieved, however, the devotee usually no longer wants it. That was true in the case of Dhruva Maharaj and others. Therefore, greedy people who want material benefits worship the demigods, who are Krishna's servants, to get quick results. One person worships the demigods for fruit of results, another worships Brahman, and yet another worships Krishna with devotion. Does Krishna, the Supreme Ishwara, control everyone's desires? Is it he who decides that one person will be a materialist and another a devotee, and yet another a struggling spiritual aspirant? Is Krishna, the supreme controller, responsible for the suffering and enjoyment and pain and pleasure of everyone in this world? 13. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Comment. The Vanashrama system's purpose is to help elevate everyone from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Although the Vanashrama system was created by Krishna, it is not he who places the jivas within that system. This fact was mentioned in text 11, Yayitamam Prapadyante. Krishna, as the impartial supersoul, reciprocates with the desires of the living entities. He always remains the non-doer, and he does not directly reward anyone the fruits of work. In addition, Krishna himself is always transcendental to the Vanashrama system, despite the fact that he, while in this world, follows the prescribed duties of his Varna and Ashrama. Even while acting as though he is under Varna Ashrama, he does not act within it. In that sense, Krishna is also the non-doer or non-actor in relationship to Varna Ashrama. As he is already transcendental, he is therefore not elevated by following the system. He is also unchangeable. Srila Prabhupada confirms this by saying, quote, in spite of his creating the four divisions of human society, Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions. Logically, if I were to award you the fruits of your work, I must be transformed, at least on some level, because I have reacted to what you have done. Krishna directly says that he is, quote, the non-doer and, quote, unchangeable, to show that he, the absolute truth, is aloof. Although he is the creator of the Vanashrama system, he awards neither results nor reactions. Thus, he is neither contaminated nor transformed. This is inconceivable. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, and the cause of all causes, yet he will not accept responsibility for everything that happens to the jivas. We each must take responsibility for what happens to us, even though everything ultimately depends on Krishna. Krishna only sanctions, against his own desires, our wayward and rebellious activities and their subsequent results, because those activities are products of the expression of our free will. Krishna is undoubtedly the cause of all causes. Nothing happens without his sanction. Yet, for our rectification, he allows us to act as we like. In the meantime, he awaits the time when we will turn to him and offer him loving service. Material nature awards to those who do not turn to him the pious and impious fruits of their activities. In this verse, Krishna explains that he is Akarta, the non-doer. Krishna has previously explained, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani sarvacha ahankara vamudatma kartaham iti manite. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Our thinking of ourselves as the cause of the results of our activities, Krishna says, indicates that we are bewildered. Now, Krishna tells us not only that we are not the doer, but that he is not the doer either. Who then is doing everything? Krishna sometimes takes one side of this issue and sometimes the other. At times, he wants to emphasize our position as tiny souls who should not be falsely proud of our prowess or think ourselves rightly attached to the fruits of our activities. At such times, he emphasizes that we are not the doer, that we do not cause the fruits of our activities, and that the results of our activities are awarded to us by material nature. At other times, he emphasizes our culpability. He then wants us to take full responsibility for our actions and their reactions. Thus, at those times, Krishna stresses himself also as the non-doer. Krishna, the material nature, and the living entities are all doers. The living entity desires to act. Krishna, as the supersoul, sanctions it, and the material nature facilitates the activity. Yet, the weight of responsibility for the action rests solely upon the living entity. Although the living entity has no independent power to act, he initiates actions by his desires, while both the supersoul and the material nature, being neutral, facilitate their fulfillment. In the next verse, Krishna will further explain how he is the non-doer, or how he acts but does not act, and the value of thoroughly understanding these subtle truths. Okay, Hare Krishna. We shall end here, and very soon, Krishna willing, we will go on to text 14 and this very interesting knowledge about how we are the doers and not the doers, and how Krishna is the doer and not the doer, and how we are responsible ultimately for our position in the material world. Okay. Hare Krishna.